Before we even kick off the podcast, I just want to remind everyone to go like, subscribe, and keep up with these weekly episodes. If you like what you hear, spread the word so more coaches can tune in for our weekly podcasts. All right, here we go. The Hog Football Podcast is brought to you by GameStrat. GameStrat is the number one sideline replay choice for the top football programs in the country. Their system is extremely reliable, easy to set up and use, and they also have the best customer service in the industry. Go to GameStrat.com to learn why more coaches keep switching to GameStrat for their sideline replay system. That's GameStrat.com. GameStrat.com. In 2020, Athletic Recruiting Education and Navigation, or ARIN, was founded with one fundamental reason in mind: to keep the high school coach as the bedrock for the student athlete as they travel through the recruiting process. With questions about when to start, do I go to junior days, what camps do I attend, we saw one major flaw in the system: who's supporting the coach? ARIN aims to provide you with the resources and information for your student athletes and their families. We keep you up to date with current trends, provide feedback on the current time frame, and engage with parents to take questions off your plate. Can you handle the recruiting process on your own? Sure, but with the demands of coaching, do you really want to? Contact ARIN today at getarin.com, that's GETARIN.com, today to talk about how we can be there to help you navigate the ever-changing and tumultuous recruiting waters. The Hog Football Podcast is brought to you by Sports Workbook, the premier coach's workbook. Keep all your opponent's scouting info, play draw-ups, and notes in your personalized coil-bound booklet. With over 15 preset workbooks to choose from, like the offensive coordinator or the defensive coordinator for in-season opponent scouting, or the popular $20 off-season clinic notebook that has 50 pages for notes and 50 pages for play draw-ups, we've got you covered to stay organized all year long. No shipping cost and fast delivery. That's sportsworkbook.com. Hi, I'm Coach Tony Schiffman, and welcome to the Hog Football Podcast, where we talk all things football and all things offensive line. Hey guys, here with another episode of the Hog Football Podcast today. Today I've got Coach Ed Carducci with us. Coach Carducci is currently the run game coordinator, offensive line coach at Madonna University in Michigan. Got a pretty interesting background we're going to talk about today, but welcome, Coach. How's everything going? How was the season for you guys this year? I didn't really get a chance to talk much during.
It was definitely not one that we had hoped for.
Sure.
This was a first year with seniors. We're a startup program, right? So this is our fourth year of existence. You know, the program started up in 2019, that fall of 2019. So, and I've been associated with the conference. This was my ninth season.
Right.
I've coached. This is my fifth year coaching. I played four seasons in the Mid-States Football Association. So, I certainly knew that there was going to be a process, but certainly not one that we'll forget anytime soon. This was definitely a memorable year for a lot of different reasons, but the kids definitely came in and busted their balls every day and took the coaching as best they could and did the best that we could, even though we were a little undermanned.
Right. Well, how many, so startup program, take me kind of through a little bit, like year one, kind of just numbers, what you guys were doing to, like you just said, this was the first year of seniors. Like, how many seniors did you guys have on the team?
So I got hired on the staff in May.
Okay. So you were not there.
But I've been a part now. The place I came from was also a startup too, but I wasn't there the first year, but I could just see the numbers. And when I was at my previous stop at Lawrence Tech, it's right up the road. That's our rival school, to be, kind of funny how things worked out there. But, when I got there, there was what we had termed the first 45. So that's about what, around the same, I think it was 50. So around 45 to 50 guys at both programs in that first year. So really, really tough to really have a super duper productive practices when you know, football is a game of attrition, guys going in and out, and obviously those numbers can fluctuate at different positions. So especially up front, I've been a part of it where we've had five guys and we've got to roll the whole practice. And I've heard stories of schools that have had to go half line just because numbers can be so low in the spring.
Yeah, no, that's, I mean, I can remember my first year, at Lake Forest. I think in that spring, I want to say that spring we had six, and one guy missed one day a week because he had band. He was in the band, which was like a big thing. And then another guy, I think we had, so there were like a couple days late in that where we had four, and it was like, how do we, and then you turn that around until that first season in the fall, you know, we had our five quote unquote number one guys with the offense. And then, you know, the scout team O-line was three offensive linemen and two tight ends and you know, trying to kind of piece that together to give them as best a look as possible on the defensive side. So yeah, it's tough, man. You gotta get those guys when you can and take anybody that you can for that spot sometimes.
Yep, absolutely. And that's the thing that people don't realize, you know, in the area when they hear about the teams that we have and they look at the record and they don't realize you're really just trying to get bodies. And then there's just like every other program, once you have bodies, then you can start being a little more selective in the recruiting process.
Right.
Because you know what you need, you identify the needs and just some of the things that are holding you back as a program in certain areas. So, but someone's got to do it though. Someone's got to go through that process, those growing pains. And we just unfortunately had a bit of an extreme season, if you will, really, had some really tough losses. If you look at our, you know, the wins loss and the results, you know, we played a Division II school this year that we played Quincy. And that was certainly a day that our guys will probably never forget. I know I'll never forget just because what the final score ended up being. And, you know, but you learn from stuff like that. It certainly humbles you. And it's a wake up call for some guys and, you know, just, hey, it's part of the process you learn from it. And it reveals a lot of character, right? You know, because when you go through times like that, I can handle, I don't want to say I accept losing, but you can handle it. I want to say handle, but you can tolerate who you're around, or you can keep a mindset, a positive mindset every day when you have the right people around you.
Right.
You know, when you're losing games and you got guys that are selfish, it really makes things tough to be productive. But I definitely think that we had a group of kids that regardless, you know, I think they love football. You know, now we lack certain things, but hey, like we said, we're super duper young right now.
Right.
And, but they come in every day with a great attitude to work and to get better. And we just got to, you know, accumulate and keep retaining guys. Because I think we're probably about 70 to 80 guys right now currently.
Right.
And I think a big reason for that is obviously we graduated our first class of seniors. And then we had lost our head coach right after the season. So there was a lot of kids that had good relationships there. And then just another reason, we just hit a lot of knuckleheads just kind of found their way out.
Right. You want that, you know? Right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're going through the roster with our new staff, just kind of going through the scholarships and, you know, who's on board and everything. And, you know, we're just talking like the knuckleheads names come up and we're like, he's not in class. That's good. Or he's not registered for classes. Okay. You know, I don't have to worry about these guys. So, you know, it may be a step back from where we wanted to be numbers wise, but it's the right numbers or it's the right people where we feel right now.
Right. Well, and you know, you've been around long enough that, you know, two guys that are doing it the right way are better than five guys that are doing it their own way. You'd rather have the smaller numbers, like you said, doing what you want to do with the program than the other group.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. What? So, you know, looking, you got a little bit of an interesting thing, and I want to make sure that I'm reading this right. So you actually started coaching high school football first, and then you went back to school and played. Is that Take me through that process, kind of how, you know, you got, you know, got to be 2015, 16, and you were like, you know what, I'm going to go back to school and use my eligibility now as opposed to right out of high school.
So out of high school, certainly had a lot of interest from the GLIAC and MAC schools. That's probably what my ceiling was. Whether I would have been any good at that level, I don't know. But I think that was probably my ceiling coming out of high school. And just priorities were scattered, if you will.
Right.
Football was certainly number one. I lacked balance, if you will. And, you know, it was football, getting strong. Had a girlfriend in high school and always bought into the movies that, hey, if you're good at football, they're going to let you slide. And that obviously isn't reality. So, you know, when you go to junior college football, it's a different breed, man. It's definitely not cut for everybody, and you got to have thick skin, and the resources there are, you know, obviously really bare because, you know, you're at a community college. You're not at a big 4-year school. And the turnovers, like every year, you know, every semester, there's a big amount of turnover at these junior colleges. So when I got there, got hit in the mouth a little bit, got humbled a bit, no longer the big fish in the small pond. And just kind of at that time, I didn't understand some of the things and didn't see the payoff at the time. So I moved home,
right,
which is Canton, Michigan. And I started coaching high school football at Garden City High School for Scott Murray. He gave me an opportunity. He was my high school coach, or my freshman's coach. And then he was my varsity defensive coordinator as a junior. So he wasn't even around my senior year in high school. So it just came home, was looking for opportunities to help out anywhere that would give me a shot. And he took me on and really learned a lot in those first couple of years about how to kind of, had a ton to learn schematically still. Right. And I still, you know, I just like we all do, we still have, we're still learning, but he taught me how to do things, how to coach on the fly. I mean, I think that was the first thing that, one of his critiques was, hey, you're too slow, man. You got to coach on the fly. We got to go, 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 go. We don't have time to sit and explain this stuff on the field. So that was, you know, that was the first stop was Garden City High School. From 2011 to 2015, that spring. And during that time, this is where it kind of gets like all over the place. So coaching high school football, varsity offensive line at Garden City High School. I'm doing part-time classes at Henry Ford College right up the street. And then I'm an overnight janitor at Lifetime Fitness. And then to throw things on top of that, I'm playing and I'm using my fingers, quote unquote, semi-pro football.
Right.
And I'm sure, you know, and if you're not familiar, if guys aren't familiar with that world, it's pretty much not for everybody. There's some guys that do take it serious, but for a lot of those guys, it's a beer league football league.
Yes. 100%. I played a lot of semi-pro football. So it is 100% a beer league. It's yes.
But I mean, it's guys that love football. I'm not taking that away, but it's, you know, there's guys that you're looking at like, well, the fact they called this semi-pro and looking at you kind of, you know, oh, waters it down a bit.
Right.
You know? So that was really the big push for me to go back, you know, as I was taking credits and chipping away, seeing how kind of disorganized some of that was and who, I didn't want to be that guy from high school that'd be like, hey, Ed could have been this, Ed could have been that. And that still may be the case. But I still got the most out of what I could with the eligibility that I had. You know, I had an opportunity to go to Concordia, which is in Ann Arbor, probably about 25 minutes away from Canton where I lived. So I didn't have to move on campus. I could stay at home, save a little bit of money there. 4 years of eligibility. God bless the NAIA. I mean, phenomenal, man. Just some of the old guys that we had. Our running back was in my age too when I went back. So. You know, you never know. You find some of those older kids that help you out. They actually stick out and stayed in shape, or you know, just driven to, you know, finish the mission. But yeah, I had 4 years to do that. I got in there. I never played any. I mean, I never focused on D line. About a week before camp, hey, can you play nose for us? Let me get on the field, coach. I'm there. So made, you know, did that first season. flip back over the offensive line for 3 years. And really in that time, I was able to reinvent myself. Kind of, I said, I went to junior college for a reason. Grades weren't there. But when I got to Concordia, not that I was a 4.0 in a guy, but I was still handling business. And you didn't have to worry about a guy like me. And by the time I finished with the Iron Sharpens Iron Leadership Award, which it was one of the three highest awards you could get. So it was just an opportunity that a lot of people probably, I want to say die for, but maybe, you know,
sure.
It was an opportunity that I got to go back with what I learned through my time coaching high school ball. You know, I got a different perspective, and you know, by the time I played my final game, I was 27 years old, and guys on our team were born, like, you know, the freshmen that I were playing with were born in the year 2000.
Right.
And that was blowing me away. Like, wow. You know, but I think it was huge for me because I was able to, as I mentioned, I reinvented myself, and I was able to become a leader in our room. And I knew what I wanted to do. I've always known that coaching college football has been my calling. It's what I want to do. And playing college football is a huge vessel to get there.
Right.
I think it's kind of hard to, you know, it's not impossible, but I think it's a little bit more difficult if you don't.
So, right.
And now how I got into that, I mean, I think that's even, I mean, it's just timing too.
Right.
When you talk about O-line play, I mean, that's when you talk to people who Ed Carducci is, obviously football, O-line, especially offensive line, it's in my DNA. And got my first job from going to the last cool clinic that was in person in Cincinnati. So
what year was that? Because I think I was there too.
2019.
I was there.
Yep. So I had turned in my accounting final, which was my last final exam. It was a take home. I turned it in to my professor, and I'm off to Cincinnati, man. And you know, it was after the Friday night clinics had gone on, the college guys had gone that night, and I went to go get a few cold pops from up at the bar, and I had rubbed elbows with the head coach at Lawrence Tech, Jeff Duvendek. So shot my shot, man. I recognized the logo, and he you know, we had a good talk. We knew some people that were, you know, familiar with each other. And they kind of opened up the doors, and, you know, it was just the opportunity because he was the head coach and the offensive line coach at that time. Right. So, you know, I think for him to find a guy he could trust with the group was big. So, hold on, let me get my dog.
You're good, I'm sorry.
Sorry about that.
No, not a problem. Okay, I can cut that out, so don't worry about that.
So, but yeah, I met Jeff Duvendek, and he brought me on staff. I mean, I learned a lot more than what I ever thought I was going to need to know.
Mm-hmm.
I think going as an offensive line player, not every program teaches you a lot about what's outside the box. And so we had a clinic with Paul Alexander. He came in to speak to us about duo and running the football versus a bear defense.
Mm-hmm.
And question he asked, he goes, how much do these young O-line guys know about coverages? And I'm like, you see how important that stuff really is, though, to the box, how that really relates if you understand that stuff. And I started understanding that stuff by doing scout cards.
Right.
I think that's huge. If you're a young guy and you're trying to learn football, like, do scout cards, man. Volunteer to do that. It's not the most glorious or the most thankful job, but it's important. And I definitely think it helps you learn the game and where people should be at. And certainly gets guys more comfortable on the board, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. I mean, that's part of football, though. That's part of kind of everyone that says, you know, guys got to pay their dues and things like that. Like, yeah, make scout cards. Like, there's nothing wrong with making the scout cards. Like, cause like you said, You're going to learn, number one, how to do it, right? You're going to learn how to do it correctly. And then you're going to learn kind of, if you make a mistake, like, okay, I made a mistake. Now I do it again, you know, fix it and make it better for the next time, instead of just trying to, you know, make do with a shoddy product, I guess, if you will.
Yeah, for sure. No, if it was late nights, early mornings, mm-hmm. but again, it's just those are some of the best times that you have, and you just appreciate the grind. And I'm super appreciative of him, because he was let go again. I've been on two staffs now, by two guys that have hired me and have been let go right after the season. So it's just unfortunate how great of a game that we play, but the right. profession is just so it's wild, man. You know, you never know how long you're going to be at one spot. And, you know, I was just so fortunate that I'm from the area. When he was let go, I was able, you know, I was retained by our interim at the time, Avant Mitchell. And then he gotten the job full time and had kept me in that room and had allowed me to run that room on my own for 3 years. So, that was, you know, amazing. And we got into a scheme where we were just running we were just 100% outside zone.
Yeah.
So definitely felt like I was able to come out of that with something I could be a guru at, you know? So.
Yeah. No, you always want to have something. Yeah. Everybody wants to have that one thing that they're kind of known for. Yeah. That's what you want. You want to have that one play. So I get that totally. We all want that.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. And you know, you could really see the things, you know, the system and all, you know, even though it was one play, we'd dress it up. We'd run it out of 10 personnel, 11 personnel, 12 personnel, 20 personnel, 21 personnel.
Right.
You know, like we just run it out of all these different looks. We'd run all these different RPOs. We'd run it with a lead back. So we just run it so many different ways, split zone, all that stuff. So you get your players to play fast and effective. And I think that's, you know, super important than anything else. Even though you guys want to do all these different things that look great on a board, but you got to make sure that it tailors to your players and that they're able to execute and do those things and play fast. Even if it's simple, man, it comes back to execution and technique.
Right. So. Right. Yeah, no doubt. Obviously you were run game coordinator last season. What for you, what did that entail? Like, was that kind of, you know, we talked about doing the cards and things like that. Was that you essentially just kind of breaking down your opponents and going to the offensive coordinator and saying, hey, I think we can run X, Y, Z, or what other kind of responsibilities did that put on your plate last season?
So I think obviously like a lot of what you just said. So when we're doing breakdowns, we'd label the run concepts so that we can break those cut up. We can put them in cut ups. So if our inside zone, you know, hey, the guys are going to see a cut up of all the inside zones versus that defense that we're facing, or the outside zone, or our gap scheme stuff.
Right.
So that stuff will be broken down and into families, and we'll watch that. What looks good, you know, what has there been a family of runs that have looked better than the others that's been consistent? Is there an alignment that we see comfortable that we can run at? Is there a soft edge? Things like that you see in film that you want to bring to the coordinator's attention. You know, what type of blitzes in the run game are we going to see as well? You know, how do you pick that stuff up? So, you know, obviously, you're going to go into and got to pick up every blitz, but you got to handle it from a run game perspective too. I think a lot of people do that with pass pro a lot. Hey, but blitz pickup in the run game is just as important.
Yeah.
You got to pick those guys up. You got to negate all of those negative runs. And, you know, and then to take another step, we didn't have a ton of hands at our school. I don't think we didn't have any GAs this year. So the manpower was really limited. So, getting to group work with the running backs, the O-line, and the tight ends, you're kind of getting all those guys on one page.
Right.
You know, while they got the coordinator doing, you know, with the quarterbacks and receivers. So, but the core group, the box, if you will. Those guys are just getting those guys on the same page. What adjustments for the week are we going to have? How do we handle these twists versus our gap scheme or a zone? So there's just, you got to have answers for everything. You got, and all those guys need to, you know, as a group, hear it.
Right. Was your, you know, obviously on game day, were you and the offensive coordinator plugged in together enough where he could trust you if you had a play or saw something, or, you know, he would, you know, at certain times, would he say, "Hey, what do you like here? What do you think we can do here?" Or,
he's always very open to what we could run. I mean, we were, as I mentioned, a little limited this year, or undermanned, if you will. So we probably didn't, we got away from running the football a little bit sooner than we wanted to, maybe, because, and a little, I think a part of that too is our head coach was, he played in the NFL as a receiver for 7 years. So we got into some, you know, long, you know, behind the sticks, we got to throw, or behind in games, we're trying to get out of what we feel we are good at. So that was probably the thing that was a little frustrating for an offense, like as a whole, is just getting behind.
Sure.
And, or just putting ourselves in behind, no, not staying on schedule. So, yeah, when you put yourself behind the sticks, man, there's not too many times you're going to run the ball and know you're going to get a first down, third and long, you know?
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah. No, it's same thing we tell kids at this level too, you know, let's play in good situations. Let's not put ourselves in long yardage situations. You know, it's not, no one's going to be good playing behind the sticks, and you don't want to get off schedule a little bit. So make sure be efficient, get your 3-4 yards that you can on first and second down, and then you're good. You know, nobody likes 3rd and 8. Nobody likes 3rd and 12. So stay on top of those things, and you're going to be in a much better place when it comes time to run those plays.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Just winning first, even if it's still just 2nd and 7, even is better than 2nd and 10.
Right.
You know, you chip away, and you know, I know in the day and age that we're in now with analytics, I've been a part of a staff that has used analytics where that's a big deal. You know, getting to 3rd and 3, you know, or whatever, you know, 4th and 4, and then 4th and 3, like those, it allows us to go for it on 4th down now.
Right.
So, and getting all those guys on the same page that, hey, if we know we're getting, you know, we get to this mark, we're going to go for it. So it, you know, allows your play callers or just some of those other routes to open up, just because you're able to stretch the field out a little bit more.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we coach a simple game. I think a lot of guys make it a lot more difficult than it needs to be, but it's a simple, simple game, and don't overcomplicate anything. You know, I think there's too many guys, and myself included, I've been guilty of this. Don't overcomplicate things if they're working. Sometimes guys get cute, or guys get funny, or try to do things. Don't just be, if you're getting 4 yards a pop on this play, keep running that play every time. You know, don't try to change things up if it deviates from the plan. Just stay, be smart, be simple, and don't overdo anything that you don't need to overdo.
Absolutely. That's why it's kind of cool to see Harding win a national championship with such a unique offense.
Right.
And, you know, where we talk about just positive plays, you know, and they probably don't throw, I don't even know how many times they've thrown the ball season long, but I imagine they probably have the least amount of negative plays, you know, that they're always constantly moving the ball forward and not putting themselves behind the sticks.
Right.
So, right. Kind of crazy, man. I never thought I'd see an offense like that go that far and do what they did this year. But, hey, there's the 1,000 ways that work, man. You just got to get your kids to buy in and execute.
Right. No, no doubt. Absolutely. Well, Coach, one more question before I get you out of here. If you could put together a Mount Rushmore of offensive linemen from guys you coached, guys you – played ball with, maybe, or guys you're just a fan of growing up, who would be on that 5-man offensive line?
Now, are we going left tackle or right tackle, or are we just talking five guys?
This is your Mount Rushmore. You can do whatever you want, and it's my podcast, so I'm allowing you to do whatever you want.
All right. So being from this area, kind of when I really got into playing high school ball, was Jake Long.
Okay.
So getting to see him up in personal, there was the 5-day Michigan camp at that time. It was a huge camp, 5 days. And seeing him rep out 225 for 40 reps, especially with how long his arms were, it was just incredible. So Jake Long's definitely the first guy that comes to mind to me. Anthony Munoz, not so much. I didn't get to so much play, but just the lore of Anthony Munoz. And I got to meet Anthony Munoz when I was doing an internship for the Super Bowl in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And just doing the research and just seeing what type of guy, just the athleticism and just the monster, just a great technician at what he did. So Quentin Nelson, obviously right now, kind of the hot guy in it, but you see it though. It's for a reason how high he got drafted as a guard. A lot of people scoff at that, but you don't understand how valuable it is when you have a guy in the middle that can make a difference in a game like Quentin Nelson. When you have a guard that's an all pro level like that, it just makes your quarterback and your run game feel a lot better.
Yeah.
You can move people. You allow your quarterback to just step up and have space to step into throws when he's not getting blown back.
Right.
Taylor Lewan, I think, just because, again, just the personality, I think, that being another Michigan guy, I just love being around that. And I think he's been at the top of our sport for a long time that he had played. And love the podcast and love his personality. Love the way he went about himself on the field. Kind of a bit of a protector, kind of, you know, he's going to have his players back. So I definitely love that about him. And this one is just to kind of get your guys just a quick story on one kid. He's not a pro or anything like that, but certainly a really unique story. The kid I got to coach that's at Purdue now. His name is Bakeem Coley. I think it's a really cool potential story for this kid. We got him at Lawrence Tech, never played any sort of football before. Karate background, basketball background, long arms, big backside, right? Mom's a yoga instructor, so the kid could bend like crazy and you just do some freakish stuff.
Yeah.
And so I'm really excited to see him at Purdue this year. He's put on really good weight. And he's a unicorn for what we had worked with. So he's a brilliant kid, and I'm excited to see him tap into his potential there.
Yeah,
so that awesome. Would be my five.
Good list. I like it. I like the couple of Michigan guys too. So I can appreciate that. well, Coach, do me a favor. Let everybody know your Twitter handle before you get out of here, and any other information you need the listeners to know.
E-card. 6568 is my Twitter handle. I don't know what I can do for anybody, but I would love to help anyone that needs it. Definitely love talking football with anybody. If you're a high school coach, would love to recruit your guys. My email is ecarducci at madonna.edu. And my stuff's all out there, and I'll share whatever I can with you guys to help you guys out in your mission. So I appreciate you having me on, and I'm looking forward to going through the spring and following you, Coach, and hopefully you guys have a great season this year too.
Cool, man. I appreciate you coming on and taking time out of your Sunday. Best of luck to you, and hopefully we'll see you around, talk some football here soon.
Absolutely, Coach. Thank you.
All right, take care.